Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to my land. This is David Ha'ivri, a Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. I'm really glad that you have tuned in. We're going to have a very exciting show today. Speaking about the love of the land of Israel. I love this land, and I'm sure that you love the land of Israel too. If you are listening to this show, you are surely inspired about the land of Israel. I'm always excited to get your feedback when you tell me how you interact, how you are inspired by Israel. I ran a lead on a thread, I guess, on Facebook a couple of days ago, asking people to give me leads on people who inspire them for being excited about Israel, and I got loads and loads of names. I'm going to be working on that and getting more interaction with these people. A lot of the people, I know a lot of those people, I know of many of those people, but I don't know them all. And then there were a lot of names of people in different places around the world who are working for Israel, who I have not met and not aware of. Today on the show, I'm going to be speaking about some of those amazing people who are doing great things for Israel. My friend Ryan Belarus, the indigenous activist rights from Canada, visited my home this past week, and he interviewed me for a documentary or for short videos that he is producing when he gets back to Canada, and that is exciting. I'm also going to be speaking about very shortly about Inon Dan Kehati, who you can hear more about on Tamar Yona's show, who is running an amazing initiative of bringing people, Jews and Arabs, together to pick up cigarette butts and garbage in the streets of Jerusalem to express our love for the land of Israel. And he's doing something amazing. I shared the notice for his event coming up on Thursday on my Facebook feed. You can go over to my Facebook feed and comment, feedback, write whatever you'd like, or just send me a direct message. I look forward to hearing that. Stay tuned for the rest of the show. We're going to have a short news break. And then right after the break, we're going to have a very exciting show. And I'm going to be telling about a very special yeshiva high school for troubled youth from the Haredi community at Kfar Zeitim. And I am on the way up there to meet with the Minister of Science, who I hope is going to become a partner for that special yeshiva. I'll speak more about that on the show. Don't go away. This is David Ha'ivri in the Heartland of Israel.
Why are so many non-Jews interested in Judaism? Why are they so curious? Did you know that the prophets of old prophesied about this? And it's happening now. I'm Rod Bryant, the voice of the righteous in the nations. If you want to understand this and much more, tune in to Israel News Talk Radio for Beyond the Matrix. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Join us at my new time every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Israel time and 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. This is David Ha'ivri with you every Tuesday at 6 o'clock p.m. Israel time and available on the archive on Israel News Talk Radio throughout the week and forever. So you can always come back and review these shows or tune in to a show that you missed. You can also listen to the show via an app on your phone. The app is called TuneIn, and you can download the free version on your phone, and you can listen to Israel News Talk Radio in your car or at work or wherever you might be through your phone at any time. So check that out. Check us out on the App Store or on the Google Play or wherever you can download those apps. Tune in. Today, Mali and I are on the way. We're about to go out to Kfar Zeitim, which is a moshav up north in the lower Galil, very close to the Kinneret, to the Sea of the Galilee. And this is a very, very beautiful scenic place. I imagine that I'll post some pictures on my Facebook and Twitter and Instagram feed. And we're going to visit a very special school that exists on a farm at Kfar Zeitim. Now, this school provides vocational training for youth from the Haredi community. The Haredi community in Israel is the ultra-Orthodox community, and this specific community, it's a very, very interesting community. Typically, the families have many children, and in their circles, it is expected from young boys to study in the yeshiva, to study Torah all day, to learn the Talmud, which is very difficult. And boys who do not fall in line with this specific program are considered problematic. This school in Kfar Zeitim that provides vocational training, it's a full dorm. The boys live there all week, and they eat there and sleep there, and they have activities throughout the afternoon and evening after their regular schoolistic programs. This school is meant specifically for boys with learning disabilities and emotional challenges. So it's a very special, it's like a pioneer project providing a service for a special need in the Haredi community in Israel. And it's really doing something very amazing. It's taking boys who in their own community were considered almost outcast, problematic individuals who needed to be cared for, and the community itself really didn't have the means to provide a place for these boys. And this school, it's called Yeshivat Kfar Zeitim, the Kfar Zeitim Yeshiva. It's been operating for over 10 years, and it has been recognized by the State of Israel as a official vocational school. So each of the boys graduate and they receive a diploma and a certificate for the trade that they have studied, which is recognized by the State of Israel. There are three different trades that the boys can choose from in this school. They can either learn carpentry at a very high level, or computer maintenance, or electrician. And through this training, they also learn regular high school studies. So they're learning reading and writing and arithmetic and English they're also learning Torah studies in the Beit HaMidrash. They're learning the regular Talmud and Halakha and rabbinical studies and the high school studies and a vocation. They're learning a profession and being certified in that profession at the end of their high school studies. So by the age of 18, each one of these boys completes his studies and is certified to work in his profession, which is a really huge turnaround for boys in this community. If you think that they start out as troubled boys that the community really doesn't know how to deal with and to provide a program for, and after going to this school for 4 years, they start, say, at age 14, 15, and they finish at age 18, they have already completed their high school and obtained a profession. And then they can go out and work and provide for their family. About most of the boys, over 90% of the boys who go through this program, when they are finished, they enlist into the IDF, which is also special for the Haredi community, because until recently, it was very rare for boys in the Haredi community to serve in the IDF. And in recent years, there has been more of an effort to include this community in Israel society and so forth. So it's a really a special mood where the boys going through this school After being certified in their profession, they're also enlisting into the IDF, serving the country for 3 years. I believe that the IDF in Israel, the system of enlisting all of our young people at age 18 to serve for 2 or 3 years and giving them a responsibility, is really a opening into the adult world. You're taking kids out of high school and putting them in uniform and giving them responsibility to protect our nation and different positions in the military, and they come out of this service with a grown-up attitude. They've already learned to be independent, and they've learned what responsibility is about and what teamwork is about. So it's really important in Israel's society for young people to take part in the military or in the national service. And young people who refrain from enlisting into the military, I think that they're kind of looked down upon in Israel society as people who didn't serve. It's a patriotic thing, but it's also more is expected from people who have already gone through this program. So today we're going up to the yeshiva at Kfar Zeitim to host a very special visit. We're having the minister of science from the government of Israel, member of Knesset, Ofir Okunis is a leading member of the Likud party, and he's a member of Knesset and a member of the government, and he sits on the science portfolio in the government. I ran into Minister Okunis at an educational conference for the Ort Network, which the yeshiva at Kfar Zeitim is part of, and I introduced myself and asked the minister to come and visit the yeshiva to see the work that they're doing. And it's really a very beautiful place. It's in a very scenic, historical place, overlooking the Galil and the Arbel Mountain, and it's a very beautiful, scenic place, and the school itself is just amazing. They have their own horse range. All of the boys learn to take care of the horses, and they also have other farms. They grow organic vegetables, and they have livestock. They have a herd of cows and a herd of goats and a organic chicken farm. And all of these things are things that the boys participate in after their regular school, classes during the day. They also have a music room, and they have a computer room, and a fitness center. So it's a very amazing program, and it's a very beautiful place. And today we're going to be hosting the Minister of Science to expose the school, and hopefully to find some type of partnership between the school and the Ministry of Science. Last month we had a similar visit with the Minister of Infrastructure and Water, a member of Knesset, Steinitz, Yuval Steinitz, who I also invited to come and see the school. I'm helping the school a bit with public relations, reaching out to specific individuals who should be aware of the school, and bringing them out to visit and to meet with the leadership and to meet with the boys, and to see how we can build partnerships in order to advance these young men and to bring them to a place where they can provide for their families when they are done with their schools and done with their service, if they are serving in the IDF. So this is something very special. They have a website on the internet. I think it's called ykfarzeitim.org. I guess I will save the link. I'll share the link in the text section of the show here. And, of course, you can always send me a message if you want to follow up on any of the things that I've been speaking about on the show. And I'll be glad to send you more information. When you come to Israel, if you're up in the north, you might want to come by and and see the school. And if you're a philanthropist, you might want to support the school because they are welcoming partnerships. And of course, there are dedication, naming opportunities. They've just received permission to build their permanent campus. And they're really doing something very amazing. I'm glad to have an opportunity to be part of this. Listen, come back after the break. We're leaving for a couple of minutes. We're going to have a short commercial break, but don't go away. I'm going to be speaking about some of the heroes of Israel who are doing some amazing things on the web. So come right back after the break.
Hi, everybody. This is Jay Shapiro, and I want to know if you're having trouble figuring out what's happening here in the Middle East. Are you confused by all the information coming at you, and are you losing sleep because you're worried about Israel? Well, I have a program each week in which I try to get behind the news and analyze what's really happening in simple terms so you don't have to be an expert to be knowledgeable. Keep tuned to the Jay Shapiro program each week, and we'll try to stay awake together.
Okay, welcome back. Today we're going to be visiting at Kfar Zeitim. Well, I'm going to be visiting Kfar Zeitim, and I told you about that at the first part of the show. So if you just tuned in, come back to the archive and check out the beginning part of the show where I told about the yeshiva at Kfar Zeitim, the Kfar Zeitim yeshiva that provides vocational training for Haredi boys. And it's an amazing program up at Kfar Zeitim in the north at a very scenic, beautiful location. It's not in the Shamron, it's in the Galil, overlooking the Sea of the Kinneret, the Sea of the Galil, or the Galeri in English. And it's an amazing program, and I help them out with some public relations, reaching out to special people who I hope will want to participate in the school and should be aware of it and so forth. They're doing great work helping boys from the Haredi community with their studies and learning a profession, and they turning out young leaders in their community. So that's a great thing. And now I'm going to be speaking about some things that are going on. A couple weeks ago I spoke at length about my Twitter feed and things, conversations that were going on the Twitter feed. Some people wrote me back, some non-Twitter users, and they said, we kind of feel left out. And I guess that's, I understand that. But I will remind you that even if you do not use Twitter, and I'm not here to market Twitter. If you use it, that's fine. Don't use it, that's fine. I myself use Twitter a lot throughout the day. I post updates and comments on things that are going on. I guess because I feel that that platform is more meant for regular posting throughout the day, not the same as Facebook, where you need to give more attention to the post that you're writing, and then more, it's a little bit different. If you're not on Twitter, that's fine. But in any case, if you're not on Twitter, you can follow my Twitter feed by going into my website, haivri.com, haivri.com, and there's a box, a Twitter box. So you can go over there and check out my Twitter feed if you would like to. And if you're interested in responding, replying, or whatever, you could reply to me on whatever platform you're interacting with me. Speaking about interacting, if you are sharing any of the platforms that I'm on, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, email, if you would like to send me a message, please feel free to do that. I get messages from people who are planning to come to Israel, and they would like some help mapping out their itinerary for visiting the heartland, Judea and Samaria, and that is fine. I know that a lot of people are interested in coming out here and seeing the reality on the ground and meeting the people who live here and who are making a difference on the ground. I think that is great. If possible, I would be glad to take you around and to, you know, arrange these meetings and these sites and all of that. Any way that I can help you, if you would like some pointers and some ideas of people you should be meeting up with in the heartland, I'll be glad, more than glad, to do that. On my Twitter feed, just getting back to Twitter, I'm coming up to 20,000 followers on Twitter. I'm at, just a second, I'm going to check as we're speaking to see the, just a second, to see my profile on Twitter, and I've got 19,922 followers. There's a map that I see once a week. There's a service that's called TweetMap or something like that that I subscribe to, and they send me a note with a link every week, and it shows a map of people, of the places in the world where people are following my Twitter feed, and it's really in every place in the world. In India, in Russia, in China, in Mongolia, in Saudi Arabia, in Yemen, in every different country that you can think about, there are people who are following what I'm writing on Twitter. That's why I really like this, because it's a quick platform that you can share short notes with, and people are seeing that all over. The other day I shared, someone sent me a message, some guy who's got 120,000 or 115,000 followers. I replied to something that he wrote about fake news, and he asked me to share a link about that, and now I'm getting direct messages, that's private messages on Twitter, to share the other side. There's some kind of a dispute going on between two sides, and I shared an interesting article that was actually part of some type of argument, and now I'm getting private messages with someone from the other side who's trying to explain to me what's going on between the two of them. I'm not really interested in getting into this dispute, but I don't mind sharing the information from both sides. So if you've got a blog and he's got a blog and you'd like me to get the word out, as long as it's legitimate stuff, if it's not offensive, it's not directly offensive to people, then I don't mind, and I could share that on my social media platforms. But getting back to Facebook, where I guess there are more people who are using that regularly. One of the things, I'm looking at my Facebook feed. I've got two Facebook platforms. I have my personal Facebook page, Facebook profile, and then I have my public Facebook page, which you can just go over and like. I guess it is confusing, and it's a bit of a mess. The problem with Facebook is that on a private profile, you can only have 5,000 friends. So once you reach 5,000 friends, you can't add on any more friends. So for that reason, a couple of years ago, I reached the 5,000, and I opened a professional page. But then it becomes confusing, and some people are following on the page, and some people are following on the personal, and people send me personal requests, and I don't want to turn them away. So I end up with two different Facebook platforms, and if I want to interact with all of the people who are following me, I need to post on both of them, and I don't always have the motivation to do that. In any case, if you're on either of those, if you're following me on my page or on my profile, you can send me a direct message, and I will try to follow up on that. Every week I share the link to the show, to this show, Hebrew in the Heartland. And I ask you, my listeners, to share the show with your friends. I'm glad to hear your comments, and I would appreciate it if you are enjoying the show, if you share it with your friends. Looking over on my feed this week, I had a wonderful visit with my Indian friend. He's not really an Indian, he's a Métis. He's an activist for indigenous rights. His name is Ryan Belarose. He's been on the show at least once. He is a great guy. He is not Jewish. He is a indigenous people's activist that many people would commonly consider an American Indian, although the American Indians in Canada, maybe in America too, in the United States, consider themselves First Nations. And he is a member of a small tribe called Métis, which is in northern Canada. He's a young, a dynamic, intellectual Indian who is interested in standing up for the rights of indigenous peoples around the world. And he came to Israel to explore, to get down to understand who is the real indigenous people in the land of Israel. Are they the Jews or the Arabs? And he came to a understanding that the Jewish people are most definitely the indigenous people of the land of Israel. And I like the work that he is doing. He works for B'nai B'rith in Canada, fighting anti-Semitism, and he promotes Zionism because he believes that Zionism is the ultimate expression of an indigenous people regaining their sovereignty in their ancient homeland. The Jewish people are the indigenous people of the land of Israel, and we were expelled from our land and lived in the exile for nearly 2,000 years. But miraculously, incredibly, we maintained our national identity in every different location in the diaspora. For all of these years, the fathers and mothers taught their children that we have a land, and they faced Jerusalem, our holy capital, and faced our land and prayed three times a day and asked God for mercy to return our people to our land and to allow us to rebuild our towns and cities in the hills of Judea and Samaria and the holy city of Jerusalem, and to rebuild the temple. And our entire culture, the culture, religion, heritage of the Jewish people evolve around that connection to the land of Israel. And this is the essence of an indigenous people passing on the tradition of the connection to the land of Israel. So my friend Ryan Belarus from Canada is visiting Israel now, and he visited my home the day before yesterday with a camera team. I'm going to mention his name because he's a great guy. And Dave, the cameraman, is filming for Ryan, and Ryan is conducting interviews with people, Jewish people in the land of Israel, and he's going to be producing 5 videos that I suspect are going to be really amazing. So you can look forward to seeing them. When they do appear, I will definitely be sharing all of these video interviews that Ryan is putting together on his visit here in Israel. So he was over at my home on Sunday evening and for a short visit and interview towards the video that he is putting together. I'm excited about that. And you should be following Ryan Belarus on social media too. And send me a message and tell me what you think about the work that he is doing for Israel and for the Jewish people. Don't go away. We're going to have a short break, and we'll be right back after the break.
Jew haters, beware. Political hitman is here. Who's in my crosshairs? Who's in my hot seat? I'm Howie Silberger. Join me Sundays at noon Eastern, 7 Israeli, and Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 9 Israeli, for Political Hitman, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back. Thank you for sticking on after that short break. This is David Ha'ivri, A Hebrew in the Heartland, on Israel News Talk Radio. Every Tuesday at 6 o'clock in the evening, Israel time, available on the internet. There's an app called TuneIn where you can subscribe to Israel News Talk Radio and listen to all of the shows. There are some really great hosts on Israel News Talk Radio. Everyone is wonderful. They're always picking up on the ideas that I was thinking about, speaking about. By the way, I haven't done interviews in a couple of weeks, and I really would appreciate hearing back from you. Let me know what you prefer. Are you enjoying hearing my rant? Just Ha'ivri speaking about things that are going on in the world as I see it? Are you would you rather hear me speaking with my friends, interviewing people? If you go back in the archive a couple of weeks back, you'll see that every week I was interviewing a couple of different interesting people here from the land of Israel and people around the world who support the land of Israel. And that was interesting for me. But then on the other hand, I wasn't getting too much time to speak about what I have on my mind. So over the past few weeks, I've been doing it solo. And I would be glad to hear back from you if you're enjoying the show. Of course, if you are enjoying the show, you should share the show with your friends wherever you can. Email, WhatsApp, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you are, just share the link and let other people know and tune in. You can listen live at 6 o'clock p.m. Israel time on Tuesday, or you can tune into the archive on Israel News Talk Radio. I was just speaking about Ryan Belarus, the Indigenous Peoples activist from Canada, who visited my home the other day and taped an interview for some videos that he is putting together to show on reservations, to show Indian youth in America, in North America, and hopefully on the internet and elsewhere, to tell about the amazing phenomenon of the Jewish people have returned and reconnected to the land of Israel. And in this interview with Ryan, I spoke about back to basics, the very basic of our connection to the land of Israel. Someone on Twitter asked me the other day, well, that was about anti-Semitism. He asked me where the term anti-Semitism came from. If there are such and such Semitic languages, why is anti-Semitism been realized as an expression of anti-Jewishness, anti-Jewish people? And I guess that is something that Ryan Belarus and the Bnei Brith fighting anti-Semitism, something that they would be more into dealing with, anti-Semitism. Of course, I strongly oppose anti-Semitism, but it's not one of the main fields that I deal with. And the thought that came to mind, I responded to this person who asked me about where did this term come about, the anti-Semitism. And I'm guessing, I haven't done any research in regard to this, but I'm figuring that Semites who were available in Europe in the 1700s, probably when this term came about, the Semites were Jews. So the anti-Semites there, or the anti-Jew, the people who hated Jews there, those were the Semites, and that's how the term glued to anti-Jewish people. But I was wanting to speak with you about something else. Oh, about the basics of our connection to the land of Israel, and where this question and answer came up very recently from, I don't remember exactly. Someone shared a very old tweet of mine. That's always interesting when you see someone gives a like to a tweet from like 6 months ago, and especially if it's someone who's not following you at all. Why did they pick out that tweet? I tweet thousands of tweets, and someone picked out a tweet. But I like that tweet too, because it said something about Zionism. Zionism is the... let's see if I can find it, because I retweeted that again. I'd like to quote this. It was a good comment. Did you know that Zionism literally means the Jerusalem movement? I wrote this. It literally means the Jerusalem movement. It began when our temple was destroyed in the year 70. In the year 70, maybe I connected those two things because the same person responded and commented on this. So he asked me, does that mean that the Romans invented Zionism? Because the Romans destroyed the sovereign Jewish state in the land of Israel. And at that time, Zionism came about, the Jerusalem movement, the movement to return and rebuild Jerusalem. Zion is Jerusalem, is the mountain of Jerusalem, and Zionism is the Jewish aspiration to return and to rebuild our holy city and our holy country, our sovereign land. So Zionism came about when that was destroyed. So this person asked me, does that mean that the Romans were actually the trigger that started off Zionism? Did they invent Zionism? And I said to him, well, actually, the connection of the Jewish people to the land of Israel began with our father Abraham, Avraham Avinu, who followed the calling of God. Hashem spoke with Abraham, and he said to him, go out from your father's home to a land that I will show you. And Abraham reached Shechem. Shechem is just north of where I am, It's about 15 minutes away. This is the very first connection of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. And then we read about our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, who all dwelt and walked around here in the heartland of Israel in Judea and Samaria. And all of those biblical stories are the fundamental connection of the Jewish people to the land of Israel. And one of the things that I mentioned to Ryan in the interview about the connection of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, all of our biblical historical events are here in the heartland in Judea and Samaria. This is what connects the Jewish people to the land of Israel. So Ryan asked me about archaeology, the science of digging in the ground and finding evidence of historical human activity. And here in the heartland of Israel, archaeological findings in the city of David in Jerusalem and around the Temple Mount in Jerusalem and at Shiloh and all of these different, in Hebron, all of these archaeological digs are bringing forth scientific evidence that the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, lived here thousands of years ago and that we had a sovereign country and so forth. And all of that is true and it's really amazing. But I pointed out to Ryan that even if this did not exist, even if there was no scientific evidence that the Bible was true, that King David existed here in the land of Israel, that wouldn't change anything. Because our narrative, the narrative of a people, our narrative and the narrative of any indigenous people who have the heritage of the connection of their land, they have the story that they pass on to their sons, that their ancient father at some point dwelt here in the land and stood here by this stone and said a prayer or had a son or lived in a tent or wherever it might be. These stories that we pass on from father to son, we don't need proof. The fact that we have this story makes us an indigenous people. The fact that we have a special heritage and connection to this land is what makes the Jewish people an indigenous people, and our connection to our land. And all of that is very amazing. Ryan asked me, how does it feel to live here in the land? And I told him that we read in the Bible about the prophet Jeremiah, who promises the children of Israel, he gives them hope. He says, again, you will plant vineyards in the mountains of the Samaria, in the mountains of Shomron. When we came back, when we established these Jewish towns here in the hills of Judea and Samaria, after the Six-Day War, after 1967, there were no vineyards here. Everything was barren. All of the land was burnt. And when Jewish farmers started planting vineyards 20 years ago, we felt that we were reconnecting to our historical land, again, making the scenery of our homeland green again with the leaves of the vines, growing them in the same places that our fathers, the tribes of Israel, the Israelites, did 2,000 years ago and 3,000 years ago. And that is really amazing, and it's an amazing feeling to walk with my sons and my daughters in these fields and to know that our ancient fathers were here, dwelt here in this land. That's pretty amazing. I wanted to just tell you a little bit about Inon. Inon has an amazing initiative, and it's called Cleaning and Coffee. And Inon Dan Kahati, you can look him up on Facebook. He's an extraordinary guy who is bringing people together, Jews and Arabs, people who live here in the land, and going out together to pick up cigarette butts and garbage from the streets in Jerusalem to just say, we live here and we love this land. And I don't really care what your narrative is and you don't need to be offended by my narrative. We live here and we agree that we love this land. And let's dialogue by keeping our holy land clean. That's in a nutshell. I just noticed that Tamar interviewed Inon Dan Kahati. So go over to Tamar Yona's show and look up in the archive. She has a interview just yesterday, I think, that she interviewed Inon. So I'm sure, I haven't listened to the show yet. I'm going to listen to it a little bit later. But I'm sure that the show is going to be, her show is amazing. And the interview with Inon is amazing. I posted some words of support for Inon, because he has a program this coming Thursday in Jerusalem, picking up garbage at the Machane Yehuda Shuk and then having coffee and dialogue. I think that he's doing something great. Everyone, this is David Ha'ivri, A Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. I thank you for joining me. Share the show. Send me any comments. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. I'm looking forward to seeing you here in the Heartland. So do let me know when you're planning to come to Israel, and make sure to reserve time to come out to the Heartland. It's wonderful to go to the beaches in Tel Aviv and to the Dead Sea in Eilat, to go to the Golan and go to the Galil and go to Jerusalem and all of that. But you need to come and visit the Heartland. So I am looking forward to seeing you here. Shalom.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.